Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the session on Tayammum. So there's a question that for wuzu, niyat is not required, then why do the Ahnaf say that a niyat is a requirement for Tayammum? So basically they say that the literal meaning is taken into consideration when applying the Sharia. So the literal meaning of Tayammum is to intend. Hence, when the literal meaning is to intend, so this has already been, it's also been considered in the application of the word. So hence, niyat will be a requirement for the tayammum being correct. Number two, you also need to understand that tayammum has been proved against logic and reasoning. Because water is a substance that purifies. And sand, obviously, soils. But then, the Shariat has commanded that we practice it, though it falls against our reasoning. And because it comes against our reasoning, therefore, we'll have to make a niyat, we'll have to intend for the tayammum to be valid, clear. Now, the question is that tayammum can be done when you're at home. One is when you are traveling, obviously, there is a situation where you don't find water. So, there will be allowed to make tayammum. But now you're at home, then can you make tayammum? When you're not feeling, when you are all right and comfortable, can you make tayammum? So there's two opinions. One opinion is that you can't, because you can't find a situation where staying at home, you won't find water, right? So this law is only applicable when you're abroad, when you're traveling, the desert, or in an open field, you're traveling and there's no water. But the other opinion is, there may be a situation that you are at home and water is not available. Right? Now, when in this day and time, when you've got all these water problems, so the second opinion seems to be more correct. That though you're at home, but the water lines have all cut off, and within your home, you can die of thirst as well. So because of the situation. So they say, so under the circumstance, you can make tayammum at home as well if there is a need for it. All right, now, then the discussion is, tayammum, is it a taharat zaruriya or mutlaqa? So it's a purification that is specific or is it general? So Imam Shafi Rahmatullah says that it is specific. So when it's specific, then it is just confined to the need. So when you are in a situation, you're in a circumstance, then can you make the tayammum? The tayammum will only last till the time of the namaz expires, because that was the need. And when the time of the namaz has expired, then the tayammum also ends up at that point. And other imams all say that it is taharat mutlaqa, it's general, and until you are in a situation of non-availability of water, the one tayammum that you made is sufficient, like wuzu. One wuzu can be sufficient for several namaz, So one tayammum also would suffice for several namaz. هَلْ يُنْفَخُ فِي يَدَيْهِ بَعْدَ مَا يُدْرَبُ بِهِمَا السَّعِيدَ لِلْتَيَمُّمِ. So you're going to strike your hands on the earth, and now are you going to blow out the sand that will be stuck to the hand? So see, again there's a difference of opinion. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi says that the tayammum is only min as-sa'id, it must be, or min al-turab, it must be sandy. Must be sandy for the tayammum to be valid. And the other says that kullu ma kana min jinsi al-ard, anything that comes that is of the earth, can be soil, can be a rock, can be a stone, but it is min jinsi al-ard, it comes under the ambit of earth, so tayammum can be done with that. So this is the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir, and he explained to Umar radiallahu anhu that both of us were on a journey on Safar, and both of us needed to have a bath. So Ammar ibn Yasir says, Amma ana tama'akkattu fasallaytu. So what I did was I rolled on the earth, because I was, both of us needed to have a bath. So I rolled on the earth, and thereafter I performed my namaz. And then Umar radiallahu did not perform his namaz for that period. Right? So the question was that, what was the need for Ammar to roll on the earth? So the reason is obvious. As far as the tayammum is concerned, the ayat was already revealed. فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَعًا فَتَيَمَّمُوا. The ayat was already revealed. But the details hadn't come yet. Some say the details had not come for what? Because أَوْلَا مَسْتُمُ النِّسَىٰ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَعًا. So the details was with regards to the application of the verse لَا مَسْتُمُ النِّسَىٰ. لَا مَسْتُمُ النِّسَىٰ, what does it refer to? So, some say, Imam Shafi says, rahmatullah alayhi, lamastumun nisa refers to lams, just touching a woman, right? So when you touch a woman, according to him, the wuzu breaks. And when the wuzu breaks, now you need to make wuzu, then you will make tayammum in the non-availability of water. And others say, no, lamastumun nisa means intimacy. It means, when it refers to intimacy, then when you've been intimate, so now you need to have ghusl, in a state of janabat. Right. So now, Ammar radiallahu anhu was not clear, because the verse is la mastumun nisa, and when it's la mastumun nisa, then it can refer to needing a compulsory bath. And when you require, when you're in the state of janabat, then you wash your entire body. When you wash your entire body now, so the verse is saying, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا. Then make tayammum. So now tayammum, is it going to be the same in janabat and the same in hadas, or the hadas will be different and the janabat will be different? So he reasoned that since in janabat you wash your entire body with sand. So now, in order to achieve that, he went and rolled on the earth. Some say that must have been the reason. Others say no. The reason is this, that he had only heard the hadith of alayka bis-sa'id, that when you in a state of impurity, right, requiring a compulsory bath, then you should be using sand, you should be using soil. But he hadn't heard the details that how should you be using the soil. Is it the same like when you're using the soil at the time of wuzu? And is it the same at the time of janabat? Or both are different? So he had only heard alayka bis-sa'id. When he heard that, he had only heard alayka bis-sa'id, so then he felt compulsory bath is different and wuzu is different. So therefore he rolled himself. So now there was a difference. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard this explanation from Ammar, then he did not agree to this. It means Umar radiallahu anhu was not in agreement that tayammum is sufficient, right, for this type of a situation. But then he says, kan yakfika hadha fa daraba an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi kaffayhi al-ardha, right? So Rasulullah ﷺ explained this whole thing to us, how he did it, right? So now, there is another discussion here. Do you strike your hand just once and rub your face and rub your hands to your elbows? Or there's two separate strikings. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, it's just one striking. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah says that it is just one striking. And with that one striking, you will rub your face and you will rub your hands. That's the masaf of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah. Number two, he also says that one striking and you will rub your hands just to the wrist, right? Kaffay, just to the wrist. So one striking will be sufficient to rub onto your face, and the same striking is sufficient to rub onto your hands, right? Until the wrist. Imam Malik Ramadan says that the faraz is one striking and just rubbing the face and the hands to the wrist, right? That is the mazhab of Imam Malik rahmatullahi. And the sunnah is that two strikings, one for the face and the second striking for the hand up until the elbows. So there's two different tayammum al-wajhi wal kaffayn. Fajnabna wa qala tafala fihima, tafala in place of nafakha. So you strike your hands and then you blow out the dust, right? So the word tafal has been used in place of nafakha. Acha. Yakfika al-wajh wal kaffayn. Now, Imam, it would seem like Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi is in agreement with the mazhab of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, where he says just one striking, and the striking must be just till the wrist. As-sa'idu al-tayyibu wudu al-muslim yakfihi min al-ma', right? So we explained that whether it was taharat zaruriya or taharat mutlaqa. And Imam Shafi rahmatullah says it's taharat zaruriya. So the tayammum is only sufficient for that one particular namaz, and after that, if there is a need, you will have to repeat the tayammum. But the other imam says that it's taharat mutlaqa. So one tayammum is sufficient for several namazes until there isn't any hadith found. That means there isn't any factor that breaks your wuzu. Right. Here now there's a discussion. Summa fala yusammihim fanasiya aw summa Umar al-Khattab. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا نَامَ لَمْ نُوقِظْهُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هُوَ يَسْتَيْقِظُ. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْقَظَ عُمَرُ وَرَأَى مَا أَصَابَ النَّاسَ وَكَانَ رَجُلًا جَلِيدًا فَكَبَّرَ وَرَفَعَ صَوْتَهُ بِالتَّكْبِيرِ وَمَا زَالَ يُكَبِّرُ وَيَرْفَعُ صَوْتَهُ بِالتَّكْبِيرِ حَتَّى اسْتَيْقَظَ. So It was, he suffered, he had been returning, the style was to travel the night, because you cover greater distance at night, there's no obstruction, there's no hurdle, and you cover a lot of distance, cool, relaxing, so good for the animal, good for you. But in the latter portion of the night, then they rest. So, it was the latter portion, and Bilal رضي الله عنه was instructed to keep alert, keep awake, and get them up for Fajr, because it's a very crucial moment. The whole night they've been traveling until the latter portion of the night. So when they've been traveling, so there was the possibility of them missing out the namaz. But then, like the others were overcome with sleep, Bilal Giyan was also overcome with sleep. Hence, everybody's fast asleep until the rays of the sun struck them. Now they got up. One person, second person, until nobody dares to wake up Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they say that we won't get him up because the Nabi is not got up. Why is not got up? Because there is a possibility that he is receiving wahi at that time. The dream of a Nabi also is a wahi. Like you see in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, inni ra'a fil manam. What he saw was in the dream, but the dream is a wahi, is a command of Allah Ta'ala. So, because it's possible that he's receiving some revelation, some news from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, so nobody would attempt getting up Rasulullah Sallallahu, not interrupting the wahi, the process of the wahi. But Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw what's going on, so Umar radiallahu anhu knows now the masla that I can't get up. So he began to recite the takbir aloud until Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up. Now the question that comes up here is this, that here the Sahaba-i Kiram and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam missed out the Fajr Salah on time, right? And then we hear the stories of the pious, that many of them they have started off a relationship with the Shaykh. From that point, they never miss out the Tahajjud Namaz. 40 years, 50 years, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi never slept for 50 years, right, of his life, Fajr Namaz with the wuzu done for Isha. So here you heard these stories, and here you hear the Sahaba-i Kiram and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're being overcome with sleep, resulting in them missing out the Fajr. So how did it happen? So he says that the ta'lim of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is conducted in two ways. One is, it is just verbal, right? This is for us, the sunnah that is verbal. And the ta'lim can only become perfected when it's demonstrated physically as well. Otherwise, the ta'lim is imperfect. Like if I just tell you, this is ruku, right? And if I don't demonstrate it to you, nobody can get it perfect. So the ta'lim is only perfected when it's practically demonstrated. So similarly, the same law will apply to namaz. Now namaz, one is done in the time, and one is not the time has passed, it's elapsed. Then how do you do it? What do you do? Right? So if it was not demonstrated by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then this aspect of deen would have been incomplete. Right? Now then, you find errors and mistakes of two types, right? One is consonant and according to the level of the majesty of a Nabi, right? So if it was at that level that it conforms to the majesty of a Nabi, then the Nabi was made to do it. So Allah made him miss out his namaz so that this department of deen would be complete, would be perfect, right? But therefore the hadith says, inni la ansa walakin unassa. I don't forget, but I'm made to forget. Yutammima ad-deen. So I'm made to forget, to bring about a perfection to thee. So the perfection is not, the forgetting is not because I was unmindful, but because deen had to be perfected, therefore I was made to forget. So that is now for the perfection and completion of deen. But then you get mistakes that are of a secondary level, of a higher level, right? And that is not in keeping with the majesty and the greatness of a Nabi, right? Like for example, drinking of wine is not in keeping with the majesty of a Nabi. Or, for example, fornication, then it's above, right? But now, if there is a case of fornication, then how do you apply the law? If the law has not been applied at all, corporal punishment has not been applied, then the Sahaba Kiram would have been in a dilemma, or there is a crime committed, on how do we administer the crime. So they don't know how to do it, right? So then, Allah Pak made it such as though Sahaba Kiram radiyallahu anhum, Ma'iz Aslami radiyallahu anhum, as though he said, Ya Rasulallah, for the perfection of your deen, it's alright if my reputation goes, I will commit the crime so that the practical dimension is perfected. So as though he was made to do it, then when he's done it, then the practical dimension of deen, in this type of a situation, the law has to be applied. How must it be applied? And he offered himself, though he put his reputation on stake. Right? He staked his reputation just so that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be perfected. But in the first case, it was an error of a Nabi, then some error that is at his level. Right? Like missing out the namaz on time, or for example, performing 5 rakats in place of 4 rakats. So now that's in keeping with the standard of a Nabi, but this type of a crime is not in keeping with the status of a Nabi, so a Sahabi has volunteered himself for that. Then there's a third discussion, alright, then what do you say about the mushajarat of the Sahaba Kiram? Well, the Sahaba Kiram also had differences that may have resulted in fights after that, like Jamal and Siffin, etc. So, if this dimension was incomplete, then the deen would have been perfected. Right? Because in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there wasn't any fight and quarrel amongst the Sahaba Kiram. Right? Now, if this situation continued, now if in the event there is a fight, is a problem within the ranks of the Muslims, right? Then how do you go about working it out? How do you go about bringing a closure, bringing some sanity to the situation? So now, it couldn't have happened in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Why it couldn't happen in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because it would have been a dispute between the Sahaba Kiram and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And if you are fighting against the Nabi, then you are kafir. So the fight will be for the position, right? Position of imarat, position of being the head. If an ummati is fighting against the Nabi, then it's out of Islam. Right? So it couldn't have happened in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of this reason. Then it couldn't happen also in the day of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because Abu Bakr's stay was very short after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just 2 years approximately, right? And the 2 years, there were so many things that he had to attend to. It was the mani'in of zakat, people are refusing to give out zakat. Then it was the case of the murtaddin, people turning apostate, right? So Abu Bakr had to attend to all this. And now he was so heavily committed and covered that there was no time for anything else. So Allah Ta'ala didn't allow it to happen in the day of Abu Bakr. Then if you look at the day of Umar radiallahu anhu, then there was a need to show the shawkat and the grandeur of Islam, the power, the might of Islam. And it couldn't happen in his day, because it was an internal problem, then how would you show the grandeur and the greatness of Islam? So it couldn't happen in the day of Umar radiallahu anhu. And the grandeur stood out so much, right, that the kings, the Roman kings, right, and other nobles, kafirs, they would just hear the name of Umar radiallahu anhu, was enough to shake them up. Right? As mighty as they were, but so he brought the grandeur and the shaukat of Islam to that level. So it couldn't happen. This type of internal fight couldn't happen. Because if it's an internal fight, obviously, then it's easy to break the Muslim. Because internally you are stuck in a fight. Right? Then it couldn't happen also in the day of Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. And the reason also was quite clear that Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu is the third Khalifa, right? When he's the third Khalifa, and the grandeur will remain for some time. It can't come just 4 or 5 years, 10 years and end. Right? So it had to last. So therefore, it lasted approximately 11 years until Usman radiallahu anhu had passed on, right? But because of the abundance of affluence, then that gave rise to differences, right? If everybody is living a very simple life, then there is very little reason for internal fights. But now, affluence is coming. People are coming up with wealth, right? So obviously when that comes up, then there's differences as well. So it already surfaced. And it really actually happened in the day of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And it had to happen. Because otherwise, this type of a situation, what is the Islamic guidance? What do we do in this type of a situation when there's an internal strife? So it had to happen within the zamana, within the reign of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. And the hadith says, Al-Khilafatu Ba'di Salasun. The Khilafat would remain for 30 years. After I am gone, right? So it ended with her. It commenced with her Ali radiallahu anhu, and then you see the battles of Siffin and Jamal, right, taking place in his zaman, right? But now this then perfected the practical dimension. Right? I showed you about namaz that was in keeping with the lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then I showed you about zina, etc., then it was not against the Sahaba Kiram's lofty status, because after all, they are not Anbiya, they are people, not Anbiya. So when they are not Anbiya Ali Islam, then the status is not the same as a Nabi. So that practical dimension could be completed in their samana. Then you got a situation of an internal strife, then it couldn't happen in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the zamana of the first three Khulafa'i Rashidin. But now the time is ending now, and this dimension has to be complete. And if it's not complete, then there's a void in deen. So as though Ali had volunteered, alright, this internal strife, and how should we go about in a situation of an internal strife, right? So all these explanations have been given by ulama kiram so that we recognize the status of the sahaba kiram. At any point, we don't harbor any type of malice, any type of ill feelings and suspicions against the sahaba kiram, radiyallahu anhu, right? For the hadith says, إِذَا zukira al-qadr فَأَمْسِكُوا. When taqdeer is being discussed and someone starts a topic, just move away. Stop the topic and move away. وَإِذَا زُكِيرَ النُّجُومِ فَأَمْسِكُوا. Similarly, people begin to talk about stars and they're taking predictions from stars. فَأَمْسِكُوا. Just hold back, move away from that. Right? Because it's beyond your understanding. Taqdeer is beyond you. Man can't comprehend it fully, so leave it out. Similarly, foretelling and predicting from the stars is beyond you, so don't get into it. وَإِذَا زُكِيرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. Similarly, when it is about my sahaba and my companions, then just hold back. Don't prolong, don't continue with that discussion. The hadith also warned, Allah, Allah fi ashabi. Just be careful when you discuss my sahaba kiram. You will hurt them, you will hurt me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, and you're going to hurt me, then you're putting yourself into a great problem. So just keep back. So there may be some discrepancy and mistake by sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhum. because they were human after all, but they did not persist in the wrong. But our duty is just to show them respect and not discuss their discrepancies or their differences, etc. So it is like, it's like a situation that we may have seen some problem within our homes, right? Sometimes the parents have a problem, one is shouting the other, or there is something between your uncles or the siblings, right? So when there is a problem within your parents, then you don't throw it out of the homes. Right? You don't bring it out of the homes. You say it's an internal thing now, and it is sorted out. You make up a cover-up story and sort it out. Why? You don't want to compromise their respect. The respect requires that you keep them at an esteem, you keep them at a level. Now, if you're going to bring about every small story of a Sahaba, right, then won't you be compromising in their respect? When you compromise their respect, then what's going to be the end result? Then the confidence in Sahaba Kiram is lost. When the confidence is lost, then the authenticity of their teaching in the hadith also will be lost. So respecting them is respecting knowledge and preserving knowledge. So therefore, you understand the status of the Sahaba Kiram and then make a comment. That is why we are learning hadith. So every time we come across the name of a Sahabi, then we are saying the words radiyallahu anhu. Right? Why are we saying this? Although it's taking so much of time that we recognize, we acknowledge their status, their contributions, and their being the leaders of deen. وَدَعَىٰ النَّبِيسَ بِإِنَائِ فَفَرَّغَ فِيهِ مِنْ أَصْوَاهِ الْمُزَادَتَيْنِ. Now, what happened here is, now they stopped over a place where there is no water at all, right? When there is no water, so some people were sent, فَتَّغِيَا الْمَاءَ فَانْتَلَقَا فَتَلَقَّيَا إِمْرَاتٍ بَيْنَ مُزَادَتَيْنِ. They came across a woman, right, and she had two leather bags filled with water, or satihatain. Satihatain and muzawadatain, it's got the same meaning, big, huge leather bags filled with water. Right. So they asked her, where's the water? So she says, bilmai amsi hadhi sa, right? The water is at such a distance that it took me one day from the water till this point. That means, according to their calculations, one day's journey is approximately 25 to 30 kilometers. So the water is only available at that distance. Right? وَنَفَرُنَا خُلُوفًا. Now she's apprehensive that these two people have come here and they saw me with a load of water. They may just take away the water, right? So she says, وَنَفَرُنَا خُلُوفًا. Our people are away, but we've got little children at home, right? Nafaruna, our people are away on a journey, but our children at home, as though she's pleading for mercy, that I'm taking what I'm taking for my little children, and you should be considering this. So nonetheless, the Sahaba Kiram asked her to accompany her, accompany them. They come up to Rasul Pak Sasam. So she asked this person, is he a Sahabi? Sahabi is a person who's gone to a new religion, right? So is this person that you're taking me, is he a Sahabi, a person that's brought about a new religion? Well, he's the same person. Anyway, they arrived with her to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they brought her out of her camel, let her disembark. So Rasulullah SAW asked for a utensil, فَفَرَّغَ فِيهِ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِ الْمُزَادَتَيْنِ وَأَطْلَقَ الْعَزَالِ. Right. So what happened, those leather bags of water, azali is two sides to a leather bag, one is the bottom and one is the upper level. So the upper level or the lower level was open, right? And then, وَأَطْلَقَ الْعَزَالِ, the lower level was open. وَنُوذِيَ فِي النَّاسِ أَسْقُوا وَاسْتَقُوا. An announcement was made, drink, and also you drink, and you also take water. Right? So you're going to drink, and you're also going to fill up your containers. So people start taking, and there was a person, Asabatul Janaba. In this whole commotion, there was a person who needed a compulsory bath. Who's reporting this is this woman here, right? So he took some water and he had a bath. Well, your qa'imah, she's watching what's going on. Bima'iha. So they're taking water from the bag and filling their containers. And also this person that needed a compulsory bath, he's taking sufficient water to bathe himself. So they took to their full, to the capacity. وَإِنَّهُ لَيُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْنَا أَنَّهَا أَشَدُّ مِلْأَةً مِنْهَا حِنَ اِبْتَدَعَ فِيهَا. But we were certain that the bags were filled even more than at the time that we were taking the water from the bag. So there's hundreds of people, all used water to capacity. One needed a compulsory bath, he used, the animals required water, all that. But after taking all that, the water bags, the levels didn't drop at all. In fact, the levels of the water increased actually. Thereafter, Rasulullah instructed the Sahaba Ikram, Ijma'u laha. So whatever provisions you've got, then give it to her, right? Fill her containers with all the provisions. Then they gave her khajur, ajwa khajur, and some flour, etc. Hatta jama'u laha ta'aman. Then they filled it into some containers and loaded it onto her camel. Right. فَقَالْ لَهَا تَعْلَمِينَ مَا زَرِعْنَا مِنْ مَائِكَ شَيْئًا. Do you see? We haven't decreased your water in the least. That means we haven't taken your water. Nothing at all, right? But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. So she comes up to her people, she returns, and she was sort of delayed, right? Because there was a certain time that they expected her, and she came after that expected time, so she had delayed. So they asked her, what happened? What delayed you? So he says, I saw something extremely strange. And she explained that those two people came in and how they took me to that Sabi, a person of the new religion. And then she says, Wallah, la asharun nasi min baini hadi wa hadi, between the heavens and the earth. And then he is the greatest sorcerer. Right? And she explained what happened. That so many hundreds of people took the water from bags. Some people needed to have a compulsory bath. But it didn't decrease the level of the water in the least. It's just two leather bags and there's no decrease. She says, now he can't be a magician. Asharun Nas can't be a sorcerer, he can't be a magician. No, he is the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, because a magician can't do this. So the magician can only throw his magic, or that magic can only be effective in his presence. Now she's come back home, and the water is filled to capacity, and containers are filled. So where did this come from? So it's not a magician, it's the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. So thereafter, the Muslims, if they had to make jihad in that area, in that vicinity, then they would leave this woman and her clan, right? Until they realized that they spared her because of this little favor that this woman had done. Anyway, so they all accepted Islam thereafter. وَطَعُوهَا فَدَخَلُوا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. إِذَا خَافَ الْجُنُوبُ عَلَى نَفْسِيَ الْمَرَدْ أَوِ الْمَوْتِ أَوْ خَافَ الْعَتَشِ. So the third situation of tayammum. So a person needs a compulsory bath, but he's going to take a compulsory bath, he may die because of thirst, or he is unwell, and he's going to use water, then that may just aggravate the sickness. Or the third situation is, he can die. The water is extremely cold, and he's going to be using water under the circumstance, he may just die. So he also can make tayammum. the hadith of Amr ibn As radiyallahu fi laylatin baridatin fatayammama wa tala. So Amr ibn As radiyallahu they were on an expedition and he had to have a compulsory bath, and he, in place of taking a compulsory bath, because it was an icy cold morning, so he made tayammum. And he presented himself before Rasulullah, explained, Allah Pak says, La taqtulu anfusakum, don't kill yourselves. So when Allah Pak says, don't kill yourself, had I made ghusl, right, I would have lost my life. It was so cold, so cold. So in place of me taking a compulsory bath, I made tayammum. And Rasulullah said, Falam yu'annif, he didn't show any sign of disapproval. Right. Naam in lam ajidil ma'a shahran lam usalli lo rakhastu lahum hadha kana idha wajada ahadum al-barad. Right. So, Umar radiallahu anhu did not accept the explanation of Ammar. We spoke about it at the beginning. When he said that ma akkat, right? But this whole case came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud did not accept the explanation of Ammar, right? So the reason for Umar not accepting was different, because Umar did not recall the incident that Ammar had explained, so he didn't accept, right? And when it came to Ibn Mas'ud, he also did not agree. He said the reason for not agreeing was that it's possible that someone finds a little bit of cold, he experiences, and he'll go to tayammum. So the tayammum was just in an extreme situation, not in a normal, not a little bit cold. So I can't find cold water, so like today now, right? And someone said, hey, there's no hot water, so I'll leave, I'll just make tayammum, right? So the smallest excuse the person will find, and he will do tayammum in place of wuzu or ghusl. So Umar radiallahu anhu's non-agreement was different, and Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's non-agreement was different. His non-agreement was because of, like the term that is used, saddan lil bab, right? You know, you're closing the doors. It's a small little incident, real incident, you know, to make us understand what is saddan lil bab, right? So one friend of mine's, he had to market his product, right? So he's quite popular, and he had to market the product, right? So now, the chain stores, they like his product, but he must first go and speak to the salesperson. So he's going, and around the same time, concurrently, there's another white person also, that's going to see the salesperson at this chain store. So they meet the salesperson there. So the white person, for them, shame, etc., is not a problem, so they meet and they hug, etc. But now this person, this friend, he refused to shake hands, he refused to hug and to shake hands. So the salesperson got annoyed. What's wrong with you people? You're so strict, so orthodox. So I said, well, you know, I need to sell my product as well. Can't lose the client. But I can't sell my deen as well now. Within me, I'm reading Durood Sharif now. I don't know what to do. So anyway, this white person that had accompanied him, he said, no, I know the reason why he's not giving his hand. I know why, what's the reason that he's not looking at you on the face and not giving his hand. The reason is that he's saying, he's an atheist, and he says, you see, it starts from the eyes, then it moves on to the hand, then to a hug, then all the hell breaks loose after that. So he's nibbled in the bud. He didn't look at you, so he didn't give you his hand, he didn't hug you, and therefore he's still safe from the hell. See? Otherwise, all the hell would have broken. So now the salesperson, she laughed and said, all right, I understand why you're not looking at my face, and you're not giving my hand. But if you are in this type of predicament, what you must do, you must keep your hands full. Have some papers in one hand and a phone in the right hand. So your hands are filled, so you don't have to. So now, when I heard this story from the friend, I said, see, you want to observe taqwa at every level, Allah Ta'ala will create an exit. You still sell your product, they'll respect you, your business is not going to be compromised, but you will save your deen and you will save your dunya. So that is called saddan lil bab. So you avoiding looking at her or touching, because if you're going to look, then it'll take you to the next level, you're going to touch, and the touching will take you to another level, you want to embrace, and then that embracing will take you to the last level, and that is obviously absolutely indecent behavior. So this is called saddan lil bab. That level that you are exercising may not be the actual haram, but if you don't take care of this, then it will eventually lead you to that haram. Eventually it will take you to that haram, so therefore just avoid that. لَأَوْ سَقُوا إِذَا بَرَدَ عَلِهِمُ الْمَاءِ أَيَتَيَمَّمُوا السَّعِيدِ. That if they find it a little bit cold, then they'll run towards tayammum. So therefore, he suddenly Bab Abdullah ibn Mas'ud didn't allow this. And I explained that Ammar's reason was different, and Umar's reason was different, and Ibn Mas'ud's reason was different, right? Now here we start off Kitabu Salah. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, when he starts off a new chapter, then he will also explain how it commenced, right? Tayammum, then what was the time, what was the circumstance, how did it commence? If he talks about namaz, then also he'll say, alright, what was the starting point, how it commenced. So obviously, this now relates to Isra and Mi'raj, right? So Isra refers to the journey from Makkah Mukarrama, from the Haram, to Baytul Muqaddas. Now, that's reported in the Quran Sharif. To reject that will amount to disbelief, because the Quran Sharif has got it in text, that Asra bi Abdihi. And then there's a second leg to the journey from Baytul Muqaddas till the seventh heaven, right? Now that's called Mi'raj. This is also reported from authentic, reliable hadith. So to believe in it also is compulsory, is not just an option, right? So now, he's talking about namaz and how namaz became compulsory, right? So, Ja'far radiallahu anhu is in the presence of Najashi, and he says, Bissalati wa sidqi wal afaf. Now, Ja'far radiallahu anhu is in the presence of Najashi, and he's explaining what are the obligations, namaz, afaf, that was guard your chastity, and do charitable works. So why did he bring this hadith here? To show the actual namaz was already ordained in Makkah Mukarrama, right? Ordained, though they were in Habash, but the actual namaz was ordained in Makkah Mukarrama, though the five daily namaz came only at the time of Mi'raj. The Mi'raj now, which date exactly? So there's a little bit of discussion in that regards. Most ulama say that it's around the 27th of Rajab, right? Summa ghasalahu bima'i zamzama. So, on this occasion of Mi'raj, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak chest was opened out, was an open surgery, and the Mubarak heart was washed with the water of Zamzam. So this slitting of the chest and washing the heart happened approximately 3 or 4 times. One is on the occasion of Mi'raj, then in his infancy when he was by Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha, that was the second time. Then the third time, it was when he was approximately 10 years of age. And the fourth time was at the time that he received a revelation in Ghar Hira. So these were about the 4 times where the Mubarak chest of Rasulullah was slipped. There is a fifth one, but most ulama-i kiram are not in agreement with that fifth, right? And then the heart was washed with zamzam, right? As the Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahimullah says, these people here, they look at everything. The hadith was like their life, right? So every minute detail of the hadith, they will look at it. So the Mubarak heart was washed with zamzam, right? So from now, when you drink zamzam, then drink it also, or mainly with the niyat, for the purification of your heart. See, all our troubles happen. Hazard, jealousy, fighting, malice, greed, ostentation show is because of some sickness of the heart. So now, more than drinking it for physical sicknesses, drink it with the niyat of curing yourself from spiritual. See, spiritual it refers to the heart, right? So with that intention, you are purified from spiritual diseases and sicknesses. Your eyes don't go wrong, your tongue doesn't go wrong, your ears don't hear the wrong things. So as they're coming up, they're ascending, أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ قَالَ نَعْمُ. So as they come to the first heaven, so the gatekeepers, the malaika of the first heaven, are asking, أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ, has he been summoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I said, yes. Right. So the doors were open. قَائِدٌ عَلَىٰ يَمِينِ أَسْوِدَةٌ. Then we see a man on his right. Aswida means people, shakhs, right? So some people on the right and some people on the left. When he looks at the right, then he's smiling. And when he looks at the left, then he's crying. And the Nabi that is receiving him is Adam alayhi salam. And he says, Marhaban bin Nabi is Salih. Welcome to the pious son, right? So he says, right, and continues until when it comes to the second level, second sky. So the khazin, the doorkeeper asks, the doorkeeper says, as the first doorkeeper in the first heaven, and then they meet up with Idris, Musa alayhi salam, etc., etc., and meet up with Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then the words of Idris alayhi salam, Marhaban bin Nabiyyi Salih wal Akhi Salih, right? So, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi and other ulama kiram have a difference here. Most ulama say that Idris alayhi salam is from the grandparents of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grandparents, right? Because he is the grandfather of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, right? And Nuh alayhi salam is like the second Adam. وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ. Because the people that endured after the floods were the progeny of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. So as though he is the second Adam, right? But now, when Idris alayhi salam had to greet Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he didn't use the words Marhaban bil ibn Salih, but the words he used was Marhaban bil akhi Salih. Right? Can you see that? The difference of word. Ibrahim alayhi salam used the word when he greeted Rasul Pak sallam, Marhaban bil ibn Salih. Adam alayhi salam used the same word. But it came to Idris alayhi salam, so he didn't use the same words. So therefore, Imam Bukhari sahab feels Idris alayhi salam came after Nuh alayhi salam, not before. Though majority of the historians and muhaddithin say that he is from the grandparents of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, right? Zahartu li mustawa asma'u fi sarif al-aqlam. So, yeah, Rasul Pasam had escalated at approximately 9 levels. So, the first level was up to the 7th sky. Then, the second level was Baytul Ma'mur, right? At a point where the Malaika make tawaf. So, that was the second level. Above the 7th sky. So, that's the 8th level. So, that's the Baytul Ma'mur. Then, the 9th level is called Sariful Aqlam, right? So, the 8th level is the level where there is the Baytul Ma'mur, and the 9th level is the point where Sarif al-Aqlam, the Malaika that are recording destiny, right? They are at the ninth level, right? 9th heaven. And then there is a level above that, they call it Dana wa Tadalla, right? So that was the highest level, and that was exclusive to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when they came to this point, then the raf-raf was brought in. Rafah was like a carriage, right? So Rasulullah had to mount this in order to reach up to Maqamat Dana wa Tadalla. And when he asked Jibreel alayhi salam to accompany him on this journey to the highest heaven, that means the tenth, so Jibreel alayhi salam excused himself. He said, "This, I can't move from this point here. If I move even to the extent of one hair's breadth, I will burn up. So that is only exclusive for you, O Rasulullah Paksam. We can't." Impressing upon us the maqam and the position of Rasulullah Paksam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is not only above all the Anbiya, but above the Malaika as well. Anyway, then the concession was asked from 50 until it was brought to 5, and Allah Pak thereafter said, "La yubaddalu qawl ladayya," that by me there's no alterations. When I've decreed something to be permanent, then there is no alterations. So he, when they reached Baitul Ma'mur, that is the point where you see the Sidratul Muntaha as well. And there were a lot of things that had covered the whole area. I don't know exactly what were the details. ثُمَّ أُدْخِلْتُ الْجَنَّةِ فَإِذَا فِيهَا حَبَائِرُ اللُّؤْلُؤُ. So I had been admitted into Jannah, and there were strings of pearls. حَبَائِرُ اللُّؤْلُؤُ. وَتُرَابُهَا مِسْءَ الْمِسْكُ. And the soil of Jannah was musk, right? رَقَّتَيْنِ فِي الْحَدَرِ وَالسَّفَرِ فَوْقِرَتْ صَلَاتُ السَّفَرِ. So when Namaz was first ordained, it was just 2 rakats, right? And thereafter, there was an amendment. فَوْقِرَ صَلَاتُ السَّفَرِ. So the Namaz of the Safar was like it was ordained, قِرَت, like it was ordained, it was 2 rakats. And وَزِيدَ فِي صَلَاتِ الْحَدَرِ. And the Namaz for the person that is residing at home, his Namaz was increased, doubled, right? So the Safar Namaz, that was like it was ordained originally, 2 rakats, but the Hadar Namaz was doubled. Wujub Salati fi Siyabi yuqul lillahi azza wa jalla khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Right. Now, it's a chapter of Namaz being, Namaz is compulsory, and then there will be certain sharait for the Namaz being valid. So amongst the sharait is that you must be fully clad, covered correctly, right? So there's difference verses. Imam Bukhari's style is normally, we can find a suitable verse to support the claim that is made. See, a tarjama is a claim, the heading is a claim, and thereafter the hadith that is followed, that is a substantiation for the claim, right? So he brings this verse, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ. Here zina will not mean beauty, it will mean clothing, right? خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ إِنَّ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. At the time of prayer, namaz, etc., and you see that you are clad, you are covered correctly. So, and cladding yourself at the time of namaz is not just an optional thing, it's compulsory, it's a prerequisite. Though Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh is of the opinion that although clothing yourself in the presence of people is compulsory, but it's not a prerequisite for the validity of the namaz, right? Shart sihat, not a prerequisite. So Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah brings several ahadith to support this, that it's a prerequisite for the namaz being valid. So he brings some hadith, that one is like uzrurha walaw bi shawkatin, right? Salama ibn Aqwa radiyallahu, he used to be hunting. So Rasulullah told him, when you are hunting now, and you just need to wear one cloth, see. So now, sometimes you are hunting, right? And sometimes you need to run after the prey, right? Now, if he's got the lower garment is to be a lungi, right? And now sometimes, in that commotion, the lower garment can fall off. So now, he allowed him to just wear his kameez, means the kurta, but then tie the ends, right? If you don't have buttons, etc., then you tie the, fasten the ends the thorn also, but fasten the end so that your body is well covered. So if the body wasn't meant to be covered, then why did Nabi tell him, Uzrurha walaw bi shawkatin? And then the other hadith, Multahifan, right? Mutawahishan. Multahifan and Mutawahishan. And you're performing namaz, then there can be three different type of garments, right? One is, the garment is quite big and it's quite broad. So then, Multahifan, then you are required to see that the entire body is covered, and the end, one end of that sheet goes over the shoulder, right? So one end over the left shoulder, and the other end over the right shoulder, right? Because you're going to be doing the postures, and if you're going to be loose, then it may just fall off, and may fall off, and your satr is then revealed, right? It's exposed. So what you must do is then, the cloth is quite big and broad, so multahifan. So if it was not compulsory, then Nabi wouldn't have told him that salli multahifan. But why did he ask him to do this? Because the clothing, wearing the clothing at that time was compulsory. Right? And then again, the woman was asked to come out for a certain occasion, right? So, now there'll be different classes of women, and some women don't have sufficient clothing, right? Then Rasulullah is instructing, now they're coming for namaz, right? When they're coming for namaz, and then she's been instructed, Titul bisaha sahibataha jilbabaha, right? So now you got an additional, what we call abaya, right? And the other one doesn't have an abaya at all. So this one has an additional abaya, jilbab, right? The outer garment, right? So she also wants to come attend the salah, like you want to attend. So when she wants to attend, then you loan her your jilbab, your abaya, so that she can also be present at that time. Now my time is ended now. 5 minutes. Yeah. Rather than saying the woman was created, say the woman was founded, right? To revive man. The ultimate is to see لِتَكُونَ كَلِيمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. You strive and strive to bring it to that level where it is just the word of Allah Ta'ala, that means the law of Allah Ta'ala that prevails. Right? So that will require, obviously, it will require jihad. That a point where only the law of Allah Ta'ala prevails. So you can't just do it with a normal effort. That effort has to come right to that level. But now, the question is, presently, for some reason or the other, you can't engage in jihad, right? Whatever reason, but you can't engage in jihad. So then what are you supposed to be doing when you don't have that level of clout, might and strength? Then every Muslim must understand that deen is not only yours, it's mine also. It's all of us that we are enjoying from the house of Islam. Aren't we? From the house of Islam, all of us are enjoying it. If it wasn't for Islam, then we don't know in which temple you could have been ringing some balde, right? Or drink some urine. Right? We don't know where we would have been. We don't know what would our position be, having some pink hair and earrings. And we don't know what our position would have been. You want to opt for gender change, whatever, right? So it is Islam that gave you his honor, Islam that gave you sanity, understanding, and a direction, right? So Islam, we belong to Islam, and Islam belongs to us. So there is a crevice, is some dent, is a problem in Islam, that we're going to fix it up to the best of our ability. When I say Islam, means in the Muslims, there is some problem, right? They are not conforming to the right standards. Now, we use our discretion, our ability to bring about a correction, but without a fight, without any type of quarrel and debate. But now, we would exercise our discretion, we will then use all our energies, exhaust our energies to bring it to the right. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Then you need to strive in the way that you ought to strive, not just a casual strive, because you know, Islam is life. Islam is your security, it's your asylum. No Islam, I explain now, you would have been like animals and beasts. So Islam is the thing that is keeping your reputation, your izzat, etc. So whatever effort is required under the circumstance to bring about that, you need to exhaust your energies to get there, right? Obviously now, then under the circumstance you'll think now, what can you do? Someone will say, alright, I will do the best in preserving the information of Islam. Because there'll be one side that will be applying and one person that will be preserving. If there's no preservation, can it be applied correctly? Can be only applied correctly if the preservation is right. So some will have to get into preserving, see it's preserved in its pristine form, and some will have to see that after it's preserved, then they'll be applying it. So one will be preserving the word, like the madrasa, and one will be preserving the work, like the tabligh jamaat. The work of deen, they will see now they're doing namaz on time, Quran Sharif, zikr, tahajjud, all that. So whatever has been learnt here, they have preserved the work of deen in their capacity, right? Then we'll get a third level, a khanqa now. A khanqa, what's the difference? The word of Imam al-Hasan Sahib rahmatullahi says, one is preserving the word that the madrasa will do. The jamaat, what it will do? It will preserve the work of deen. And the khanqa, what it will do? It will preserve the spirit of deen. So all is required. The word is also required. The work also is required to be preserved. And the spirit of deen also is required to be preserved. But now, all this requires that you must consult with someone. Now this is the situation, what do we do, how do we preserve it in our scenario, right? So you need to consult with some senior. In our context, we will consult with Hilal, Omar Ibrahim Devla, Damat Barakatun. So Allah Pak keeps some elders, and then we take the cue from them. Everybody doesn't do his own thing. Otherwise, the whole confusion, right? Sometimes it can be a confusion, sometimes it can be a duplication, problems after that. So now, if you've got one head, all right, they give us a direction, do this, work like this, this is how you will work, you will avoid doing this, and you will do this. So, you're coming back after the 10 days or 40 days, and there is a reasonable amount of change in the person. Right? What is
this? Ustaz, this hadith with regards to Hiraqal, and he says, يَأْمُرُنَا يَعْنِي النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَالْعَفَافِ. Good translation for Afaf. In this incident of Hiraqal. Good translation for Afaf.
Afaf, chastity. So he asked, he commands us to preserve our chastity. It's go away.
In Tayammum, when we're wiping our face, we make khilal of the beard as well.
Tayammum, there's no wiping of the feet.
Face.
Face. No. It's just doing this. That's enough. Ji, not good. Shalom.